gonna get trouble.
Yeah! Yeah!
Hi everybody, welcome to Full Court Press. It's been a little while since we've last spoke. The Miami Heat versus the San Antonio Spurs 2013 finals occurred. Rabbit, what was your favorite moment from that, or one of those games?
It was an epic series, wasn't it?
It was amazing.
Probably the best final series in a long time, in a long, long time. That hook by Duncan, heartbreaking. You feel it. You feel it. The Ray jump shot. I mean, it was incredible. It was LeBron's like icing. It was pretty amazing when you think about it. I can't believe San Antonio didn't win. By the way,
Can you think of another time in the finals where anyone's ever been so close to winning it and didn't win it?
30 seconds to go, game.
No
six.
One's come that close without.
What about the Havlicek stole the ball? That's about it. The Larry Bird steal. No, it was weird to watch.
There's that the Ray shot is just like one of the most ice cold shots of all time. It was amazing, that series of events. It's amazing that Popovich cooked it and left Duncan on the bench. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, twice with two sequences, they couldn't get a rebound and they got a second chance point, and it was there.
And like TP shot in game one, it was crazy, and it was pretty sick. LeBron, like you said, icing it, like the big bucket in game seven.
Yeah, career-defining
massive
shit.
Yeah, it's heaps MJ-esque. It was so perfect, I reckon.
It was Danny Green's story.
Yeah.
Hit the most threes in a final series, beating Ray Ray.
I think pretty the massive insane. Tim Duncan into Kawhi Leonard, so he missed the free throw, and him passing to basically a sophomore in the NBA for the final free throw shots.
Yeah. He looked terrified. I can't believe he hit one. Like, he did well to hit one, I reckon. Yeah. It's so brutal.
And also Ginobili's, like, nasty passes and the, like...
Ginobili's mind brain snaps,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Ginobili was awful. He had one good game the whole series.
If he had played a bit better game six or seven, they're probably taking that out.
He sucked it in the Golden State series as well. Yeah. He hit that one shot in the game. He was like 2 for 11 or something. He was playing awful. Good games are anomalies now for Joe. I can't believe they signed him for 2 more years.
I honestly thought he was retiring after this. I can't believe he's coming back. But
Tim Duncan missing the shot at the end was pretty epic.
Oh, it was just heartbreaking. Everyone, I think, wanted San Antonio or just thought they deserved to win at the end of game six when the clock was winding down. They're up 5, I think, with 30 seconds to go with free throws. You're like, yeah, it's amazing they've taken Miami this far and they're going to get a ring and the boys are going to go out on top, and they kind of deserved it. And I think most people had that, like, that's pretty cool.
How's the circumstance as well that when they were down six, and LeBron bricked that first three-pointer so badly. Yep. And the only reason why they got the ball back is because it was a crazy rebound that anyone in good position wouldn't have, like, had a chance of getting it.
It was down at their feet. It careened off the backboard.
Yeah, it was such a brick. And then somehow the next one, it was unbelievable and it was bang on.
That's when you kind of just get that feeling we're not meant to win this. You know, too much random shit happening, too many things going the other team's way. And LeBron was stinking it up in the clutch at the end there. And they didn't look like they had anything. And they just watched San Antonio do some dumbass shit. Ginobili went charging in. Missed rebounds, missed free throws. They just kind of imploded at the end. And it was so crushing to watch. You kind of knew they weren't going to win game seven there. With everything said that happened in game seven, you still thought that was it.
You generally don't recover from ones like that, hey?
So I felt for them bad. Anyway, it is cool. Miami did deserve to win in seven games. And LeBron was pretty massive.
Yeah.
Bosch was still a handbag. He always will be.
Weird series, though. Like, heaps of blowouts.
So many subplots as well. You know, all these bench players, role players. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, Gary Neal erupted in one game. 7 threes or something.
Battier,
crazy.
When everyone was hating on him.
Yeah. How is it Miller last year and Battier this year? Just
insane.
Just like zombifying. and coming up from the dead and winning game seven.
And Ray knocking down that three is just like, that's exactly why we got Ray.
Well, it's been a whole year since we've done the awards. But before we get into the awards, here's like just three stupid questions to kind of get the brain flowing. If you can follow me on this. All right, here's a question for you, all those listening. Most overrated trade during the off season. I'm going with the Bledsoe and Butler trade for a couple reasons, just before you guys jump into this. It was supposed to be the coming of the two, like, knights. They pumped it up. They did promo shops. They launched the new jerseys with both of them, and then they traded Butler, like, for nothing, really. What did they trade him for? Like, two guys who've never played, probably. Well, the two guys that are a third string power forward slash center and then a shooting guard or something like that. The Suns are tanking. They're going to get last.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah. What was your most overrated trade?
Well, I didn't think... The thing... I wanted to talk about the one which everyone seems to think is overrated, but I don't think it is the Jared Dudley and J.J. Redick trades to L.A.
Here's a fun fact about J.J. Redick. Do you know J.J. Redick had last girlfriend, he made her sign an abortion clause?
What? No.
Meaning if she gets pregnant, she has to have an abortion.
No shit. Really?
I googled most hated players in the NBA, and J.J. Redick was one of them.
For doing that?
Yeah.
Obviously with the female population in the NBA.
Yeah.
Gnarly.
Or anyone who's...
I've heard of that. I've
not
heard of
a
that.
Psychopath.
The proper legal binding contract.
But
you
still,
have to have one.
Toured up for Orlando. It's been an intense season. My favorite series is probably Denver versus Golden State. But we're going to do some awards. So the Full Court Press Awards for last season, starting with the Paul Pierce Award. Rabbit, who's the biggest douchebag in the NBA?
Birdman, without a doubt.
Birdman.
100%. Birdman.
Yeah, now before you both go off on your little fucking, oh, everyone's on the Birdman train, you know, everyone loves Birdman. If you didn't know him and you saw him and you look at him with that mohawk, tats, all that kind of shit, you go, douchebag, look at this douchebag. Okay, point one.
Fact.
Mm.
Point two, he starts fights. He has cheap shots all the time. And you're like, oh, he's the kind of player you'd want on your team. You know, gets the other team, blah, blah, blah. It's cheap. It's bullshit. You got no right doing it. Those cheap shots on Hansbrough in the Eastern Conference. He did send him pretty hard afterwards. But anyway.
Yeah, it was huge.
Mm.
And hey, let's not forget the current situation. And I'm not, you know, man, he's innocent until he's proven guilty. But...
Tell me,
you know,
tell me about
just
what
saying it. We talked about it.
Can you explain, like, the revelations about what came out about the Birdman?
It's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
It's scary.
So let me get this straight. He was hitting up some 17-year-old.
He met a Canadian 17-year-old
on the
internet who told him that she was 21 years old.
That's right. Yep.
Then hacked into his computer.
No, it wasn't her. So there was a different lady, I think she's 30, she's from somewhere else, so I don't know how old she was, but she hacked into all his stuff, like his Twitter, his emails, everything.
So his
pretended
password
to
would
be
have
him.
Birdman.
Sure. Yeah, that's what they were speculating in. And pretended to be him and elicited some sort of meeting, sexual encounter with this underage chick who apparently was 21. The thing I don't understand is... They've proven that she hacked him and it was all super crazy, but he had sexual relations with this chick. So it seems to me that the hacker has hooked him up and put them in contact. Like they've sent each other photos and blah, blah, blah. Birdman not knowing about it. But then he finds out somehow and then goes and hooks her up. And then...
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it happened...
That was weird.
I thought it had happened first... And then the other person just hacked in and, you know, got the information to extort
him. From the existing relationship.
Yeah, like, made him say stuff to this.
No, I thought somebody hacked and just said verbal, negative, racist terms to a lot of people he knew. And then...
No, it was all this one chick. This chick went to the cops after she got these kind of quite forceful, like, harassing emails and photos and stuff like that. She went to the cops. That's why the cops raided his house back in Denver like a year ago. And they thought that, and that's why it was like child pornography, because she was underage. But really, it was like a consensual little relationship. Unknowns to them, this hacker had got them together originally or something like that.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
It's
hey?
Weird. It's yeah. weird. But he so didn't really do anything wrong. That's at the end of the day. That's
what the lawyer says.
Yeah,
that's what the lawyer says.
Hooked, like, he still slept with her. Like,
state, in Denver, legal age is 17 or something like that. I'm pretty sure. That's what I read anyway. So apparently, he has done nothing wrong in the eyes of the law at this stage. But, you know, vicious kiddie porn.
If somebody lies about their age...
Remember we were talking about it?
We were giving them shit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and you Google his face, you know, Google Birdman NBA and Google images him.
Douchebag.
Who's going to believe anything that guy says?
Douchebag. 100%.
Yeah.
Denver didn't want him. He was deep on the rotation and they...
That was enough for him to want to let him go.
Yeah.
He ran the beard for a little while and it just made him look more like a serial killer.
Yeah, douchebag.
What about yours, Bag?
Bag, what do you got?
I got Dwayne Wade.
Oh,
huge. Oh, wow. I think it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Anyone who says that they want to be referred to as the number three after they won a title... Yeah. That's shit.
I remember saying it to you when we watched it. It was so bad.
Yeah, he changed his handle on Twitter to three, like the number three. Yeah. Shocking. And, you know, also, like so many times, even in the finals, he'd bitch about a call and not get back on defense and just be crying to the ref so often.
Yeah.
He's never committed a foul in his life, but he has the first cry about everything. He's a salty tampon.
He's a father of the year. He's written a book, Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
He's very...
Fucking so high and mighty. I hate it. It
makes you sick.
Yeah. Disgusting. He's looking down on me.
What about you, Wesley?
It's going to go from player to coach, but Jason Kidd, I think you're...
Whoa.
Yeah, sorry.
Douche award?
Whoa. I'm not, sorry. Deal with it, everybody, but...
What the fuck?
And maybe, I don't know, am I jealous of him, maybe? I don't know what it is, but like, you... Played for probably, you know, how many years? Like 19 years?
Yeah, pretty much. He's 40.
Incredible player. Straight away goes, yep, I'm going to be a player coach. Then buys half of Jay-Z's shares, $500,000. Just riding it all the way. I don't understand why he's given responsibility.
Smart and business savvy makes you a douche, does it?
I don't know.
He hasn't even coached a single game yet.
He hasn't done a single thing. That's what
I'm
saying.
How's he a douchebag? He's going from glory out of the NBA.
I don't like it.
Cheeky little, you know, drink driving thing, you know.
Yeah.
But we'll let that slide. And now he's coach. Yeah. And you got to give him like some credit and go,
I just don't think
indications point to good.
He's been so unselfish his whole life. He's so giving.
Likes passing.
Yeah, loves sharing it around.
Is
makes
not,
people better. Why
is he not
want
like
to be
the fourth
that?
Or third all-time three-point?
I don't want to be around it. I'm not trying to belittle who he is or how amazing. I mean, some of the most enjoyable games I've ever watched he's been in. But like, to be a coach in the NBA, I don't think you should just be allowed to finish playing and instantly be a coach. I just think that unless I'm not aware of what the coach does, or maybe it's more... You know, the head office telling them what to do, and he's kind of just making management decisions, your defense, your offense. I don't know what it is, but that kind of, when the game's on, that Popovich screwing up in the last few minutes, he never does that type of stuff. He's had none of that experience. So
tell
I don't understand how you can just suddenly coach an NBA team.
Remember
awesome coaches that should deserve that role over him.
You remember the Kobe documentary doing work? Remember that one where they mic him up for a game?
Yeah.
He was like basically coaching that team
for
Magic long Johnson stretches. And Phil Jackson's just standing there. And like, so would you have no doubt if like they finished the season today that Kobe could coach a team? Because I do. I 100%. Reckon he could do it. And
really?
Kid's been doing 100%. It even longer than him.
Yeah.
And he's like he'd be like basically a coach on the floor anyway the whole time.
I'm going to change my award to Wes as the biggest douchebag for hating on Jake Kidd.
Yeah.
Blasphemy.
Cool. Awesome.
You'd have to wear that.
Well, just out of curiosity, where did you put them in finishing this year?
I like Brooklyn at fourth.
Fourth overall.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they'll make the playoffs. Yeah. They'll be a threat.
Bag.
That's
just
where
don't
I'm
believe,
putting them as well.
Yeah, I just don't believe they can, gel as fast as it need to. I think they showed a lot of or lack of character losing to Chicago.
Mm. Yeah.
Their lost starters the have to get it together. Maybe Garnett, you'd like to think, and Pierce will bring steadying hand, but I don't know. Fourth is good. Fourth is good enough for them, I think.
I had them third, but I look at this and I put Indiana fourth, and I don't know. I have mixed feelings, but yeah, they're going to be awesome. No doubt about it.
I think it's going to be, they'll be better later. They're going to not play Garnett and Pierce more than like 22 minutes a game, I reckon. They'll take it super easy. It'll take them a while to get it together. And then when it comes playoff time, I reckon they'll be rolling and they'll be able to play the guys big minutes. And I reckon they'll make it all the way to the conference
finals.
Can
you see...
I think it'll be too much in the playoffs, I reckon.
Can you see Garnett and Pierce on the floor with Williams, with Joe Johnson at times at stretches?
Yeah. That's who you, Lopez, that's who you want playing at five, right?
Yeah.
Williams, Johnson,
Lopez,
Garnett, and Pierce. Yeah. Is your crunch time five?
Hey,
for
on
sure.
paper, for sure. It just depends if those guys will share shots, take the right shots.
Almost
is Pierce going to go
create...
after his 10 to 12 shots a game? Is he going to handle
well,
a bench
if
role
anyone
well?
Anyone can tell him all that. It's Jason Kidd. He can help all of them. And Kevin Garnett respects Jason Kidd. Yeah. And they're friends first.
A lot of
and
egos there, man.
When you want a coach, you want a friend first? What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do
about
you want
that.
A friend first?
There's a lot of egos.
Come on.
I don't know.
I don't like any of it. And I'm telling you, it's not going to work. But I put him third.
But how's that for a scoring five?
Yeah.
Everyone can score from all over the place.
That's right.
It's pretty hectic. And you basically got like three guys that can play point guard on the floor at the same
and
time.
The bigs
as well.
Can
and KG.
Shoot. The bigs can shoot jumpers. They're going to stretch D. It's pretty dangerous. There's going to be a lot of ISOs.
Yeah. I reckon, you know, watching Howard come back is going to be amazing. Watching Rose come back is going to be amazing. But the New York versus Brooklyn games are going to be all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're
going
to be massive.
Can't wait. It's going to be super pumped about it.
Back to these awards, Wes.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go for the second one. The Whitey of the Year. Your favorite albino? It's not really an albino, but your favorite white guy.
You go first.
I got Andrew Bogut. And you know what? I'm an American.
Golden State, baby.
And
let's
love Andrew Bogut. Because when he plays good, it's epic. He's getting way more court time than Patty Mills. You got to go for him.
He crushed it on McGee a few times.
Totally.
In the playoffs, it was beautiful.
Golden State would be super happy with his contribution. He was awesome.
Mm.
And he's looking fit now for this season. It's going to be rad. I went with Scalabrine's getting a coaching gig at Golden State.
Oh, yeah.
Come
good
on.
Job.
You're talking about guys going straight from the court to there. Scalabrine's, man, riding coattails his whole career.
Scalabrine's
doing
had nothing to do with the court
nothing.
The last two, three
exactly.
years.
Exactly.
If Jason Kidd was doing that, I'd feel okay with that. You know, that would be fine. I'd be really happy for Jason Kidd.
Totally. I want to know what he's got. He must have charisma. He must. He walks into all these roles. Everyone loves him. Hey, Scalabrines, you watch a lot of ball. You're on the bench a lot. Here's a coaching gig.
Yeah. How
See
many
what
assistant
happens?
Coaches that have a fan club?
He'll keep
fucking one.
He'll keep Golden State fun, and it'll be exciting. It's all That's about hilarious. Golden State.
Yeah, you never have too many gingers on
Who
the
do
bench.
You got,
Zach? I got Chandler Parsons.
Yeah, money.
He fucking tore it up pretty much all year, and he was on my fantasy team, and he was just great.
Yeah, he's going to be better this year as well.
How crazy is that? I read this thing saying that Chandler Parsons this year attempted more threes than the 86 Celtics.
Whoa.
That's pretty full on, hey. That's over nuts. 900 threes he attempted.
900?
Yeah.
Damn.
That's crazy, eh? Hey?
Yeah.
Like 10 a game.
Yeah.
And it's full on.
Wow.
What's his percentage? Who knows that?
I reckon it's about like 40, 38 to 40.
Yeah, it was up there this season. Crazy. Crazy stat. And that was with Bird as well.
Yeah.
Celtics, yeah.
Didn't love the three.
All right, so the next award, worst coach in the NBA, Jason Kidd.
You get, really?
I'm just joking. I don't know. I haven't seen him coach. I couldn't come up with anyone that I hate, other than honestly, like Coach Thibodeau annoys me. I don't like the way he is just so obsessed with winning it. He's so obsessed with winning it freaks me out a little bit. Not in an arrogant Kobe way, in like a putting your players through hell.
Yeah, he hurts his players.
Yeah, he
hurts for that.
Yeah, it's full on.
But I bet you they love playing for him.
Oh,
I don't hear anyone complaining.
Totally, but. I think he needs to learn how to manage it, you know, so that you know you're peaking at the right times. Putting too much emphasis on, you know, regular season games because they're big matchups, and the players are killing themselves for it. Maybe that gets you ready for the playoffs, but for them, it just never seems to escalate at the right time.
I reckon we'll find out this year.
Mm.
I've got to say, everyone's battling. Like, Derrick Rose is coming back a bit injured, and Dang going to be a bit injured, so see how he treats it.
And he's saying this could be his last year.
Mm.
So there's that mental thing in there. Boozer doesn't give a shit.
I don't know about Chicago. I don't know. They're going to play hard. You know that. But what's Rose's confidence like? Because their offense was a lot, very much driven on his ability to explode and get to the ring. It's going to be pretty interesting to see how he adjusts. But, I mean, he's young. Heaps of players have come back before. It's a gnarly injury. But
yeah, not many people take a full year off too.
Yeah.
You like to think maybe he's healed it better than some might, because he's taken so much time, which is pretty cool.
A good indication, though, of Chicago doing well is the fact that they handled the loss of Rose and a lot of injuries quite well. You're talking about adversity and stuff. They beat Brooklyn. They had no right to beat Brooklyn.
They've never really played not hurt at some point.
What about that game Noah had in Game 7? I mean, guys just manning up when they have to.
Yeah.
You didn't see that from a lot of teams this year, and Brooklyn really... That's pretty embarrassing, I reckon, to lose like that with that lineup. So, you know, Chicago can rally around each other when, you know, if Rose is struggling early and not as good as he was, they can
Boozer
carry
played
it.
Well as well.
It just depends if the way they handle that transition with Rose getting back. But we know they can play D. We know they can rebound. So, yeah, Chicago. I've got them finishing fifth. So, I don't know.
I got Chicago
Brooklyn,
sixth.
Chicago, fourth, fifth, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
There's such a disparity. I got him finishing third.
You got him
I think
third.
Just because the way that they play regular season ball pretty intensely, Rose seems to be able to, ready to run right away. They're starting fives pretty all time, and they got Butler.
Sure.
I just think they'll get it going quicker than some of the other teams. I think they'll come out of the blocks pretty well.
I don't think the East, the top of the East, say the 5-6 spots and up, there's no time to readjust. Like, that's a strong... You got Miami, Indiana, New York, Brooklyn, Chicago. You can't really lose 20 games adjusting and trying to get it back. You lose 10 games on the top 4 or 3, you're not going to get that back for the rest of the season, I reckon.
I really think Cleveland's going to be a dark horse this year if Andrew Bynum comes back. It's going to be massive. He could do it.
It's all very pretty, isn't it, on paper? Like, if he comes back and he's healthy and Kyrie, you know,
he's had a long time off too as well, you know? Like, he says he's coming back.
He only had surgery in March on both his knees.
Bynum's just a bit of a handbag. He's kind of turning into a bit of a Odin kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a bit like,
maybe
I don't want
to
touch
take
that.
A whole another year off.
His contract is not guaranteed second year. He's got to play.
Yeah, they don't think he's not going to be ready for preseason. So he's not playing. He's a bit of a dark horse to make game one.
With Bynum back, I got them finishing eighth and getting the last spot in the East.
And Cleveland got the number one draft pick again.
Yeah, but he's hurt as well, but he should be good to go. I got Cleveland at six. That's like best case scenario, I think. That's with... But like, because they've got, even if Bynum's not healthy, they got Vergeau, Tristan Thompson, and Bennett, the number one pick. They got plenty of bigs.
You're talking Irving's about Deion Waiters older. Before, yeah?
No, Deion Waiters is the two guard.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Do you know where he came from? What college he came from?
Syracuse,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's right.
And he was like the third or fourth pick in
the draft. So they can rely on him for scoring.
Yeah, he'll be good. He'll be better this year, I reckon.
Yep.
They got a pretty good team. And they got Earl Clark and Jarrett Jack as well, who I think is going to... He had an awesome year last year. I was super high on Jarrett Jack.
Yeah, nice.
So that's just a pretty good bench. I reckon if they get it together, they're probably better than some of the people they're above. And they might even push the fifth spot, I reckon, if everything goes perfect, if no one gets hurt.
Can you tell me your NBA Green Award, the biggest pothead, Wes?
Well, yeah. I mean, the NBA is big on recycling.
Sure.
They love wearing green.
Yeah.
But this one's for two people. It's either going to be J.R. Smith, who got tested and now is missing 5 games. He's injured, so he was probably going to miss those games anyway.
Yeah, that's very convenient.
Begs the question, was he smoking weed because he was injured? Or does he smoke weed anyway?
What if he's giving weed to the dude who does the drug tests, so he knows when to smoke weed and when not to? He'd have that shit dialed.
Mm.
I reckon he's got to be the biggest pothead because he takes the most outrageous shots. You got to be smoking something to take some of those
threes.
I think
it's mean to drug test him when he's going to be out for 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, totally.
Just don't
test
him.
I've been doing.
Yeah. If there's any time he wants to get it out of his system, it's right then.
I'm lying on the couch with
let him go.
To do. According to the NBA. And the other guy, of course, is Beasley, who got dropped from the Suns. They took a gamble on him. And then got swooped up by Miami Heat because
everyone was after Beasley.
Yeah.
They were so pumped.
Miami love that. They love turning it around. They know he'll play well for him. I had Jeremy Lin as the biggest pothead, but I don't know.
Isn't it weird? Because he played for Miami originally.
I'm shocked. I can't believe they're having him back. I wouldn't want him on my team if I was them. Yeah. I don't see... they could use another score or something, but he's been in the league 7 years now.
Mm.
You know? Oh, maybe that's wrong.
No.
He's got massive eyeballs.
He's been in the league as long as Derrick Rose has.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
So, I had Beasley as the biggest pothead. A, because his eyeballs, but B, because I thought when you look at J.R. Smith, Weed would be like, after I've done, crystal meth, ice, snorted some cocaine, and injected some steroids in my ass, then I'll smoke some weed afterwards. But he looks a little bit harder, a little bit tougher than just weed. Where Beasley's kind of a little bit more softer, a little bit more like, he's a little bit smoother.
He's more of a tree hugger.
Yeah.
J.R. Smith looks like a
real Damian Marley member. Vibe.
He's hardcore looking.
He's smoking crack.
He's like, put ice before the game? I think so. Fuck yeah. So Beasley looks a little bit more like, whoa, whatever, it's just basketball.
So Beasley's who you going back?
I got to say, right now, it'd have to be J.R. Yep. I'd be in Woodson's ear going, mate, 4 months off, I'm just going to hit the Larrys hard for just a month. Just let me do my thing.
Totally. 100%.
Yep. I'm just going to watch a ton of movies, and then I promise I'll be on the straight and narrow. But he'd be on the weed, he'd be on a free pass right now.
Blazing. Mm. Blaze that shit up.
Mm. Yeah.
JR takes it out.
Go JR.
He's friends with Rihanna. let's go with the Mike Tyson Award. NBA player you would least like to fight. And mine's two. I'm just going to go straight into it. So I have Joakim Noah and Kevin Garnett, but it's in like a jungle scene. So they're, wearing kind of like Tarzan-y type stuff.
Right.
And then Joakim comes out with a big fro, and, Kevin Garnett so dark and his white eyeballs,
does
and they
Kevin
just come
Garnett,
at me.
Does he stab him in the back with a tree stump when he's not looking? Because that's what Garnett would do.
When do you all start fucking?
I'm telling you, those two coming at you, jungle scene.
Was there a waterfall?
It's the scariest thing you could ever. Yeah. Sweaty, they're oily.
I'm saying our test.
What do you want? You chose a three-way for the person you least like to fight.
It's weird, man. Couldn't imagine anything worse than those two guys running at me at the same time.
Fair enough.
Black
our
and
test.
White.
Our test for me.
Our test.
Chocolate.
Yeah,
vanilla.
I mean, it's not that surprising. He's just fucking nuts. Mm. He's just probably nuts. You don't know what he'll do. You wouldn't know if he'd break his own arm and pull his bone out and stab you with it. He's just fucking proper nuts. I don't have anyone else I'd be more afraid of.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yep.
I agree. Mine's a little bit out there.
Right.
It's, did you hear about this dude, Terrence Jones, who plays for Houston, and he stomped on a homeless guy when he was coming out of the club?
My God.
He was coming out of this bar, and he got arrested for it. He stomped on a homeless guy for no reason.
Jesus.
So, you can imagine what he'd do to
you. He wasn't in the dunk hump, was he?
No, he was a rookie last year. Okay. But yeah.
That's gnarly.
Pretty brutal.
Maybe and what? So is he on assault charges and
jail? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. No, I think he got bail or something like that.
And he's cool. He's playing. It's all good.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit.
After he murdered someone, is everything cool?
It's brutal.
You're allowed to stomp on homeless guys, but don't have depression. You never get any court time.
So, really quickly, back on Beasley. He was... I missed two kind of points I wanted to say. Chicago got a C- on the NBA overall chart, and Steve Kerr thinks that they can take out the Miami Heat. That's controversial. Beasley was only 4 ahead of Derek Fisher on the...
On the player radar.
Yeah, the player radar, which is retarded.
Yeah, right.
And Lamar Odom was like 486.
He's still not the worst. And guess who the worst person in the NBA out of 500 players... Who's the worst?
What is this based on what? Like
just
on official
their rank
on
20 think tanks.
Bosch?
Get in there and...
Is it Bosch?
Bosch!
Please be Bosch.
Bosch, yeah, no.
Mental illness. I don't know. Oh, yeah, it's Royce White.
It's because he hasn't played. He's played, like, what, 10 seconds?
It's like, that's a bit harsh.
Put up an airball.
They were so positive towards him.
They don't count complaining about transport as a stat.
Yeah.
And that's why he's dead last.
We've wasted enough time on this podcast talking about him, and he hasn't even played.
Yeah.
Who would you most like to fight, Wes?
I said, it's my sexual fantasy, apparently.
Wasn't that
least?
Oh, least.
Yeah.
The Ben Lee Award.
Yeah, the Ben Lee Award.
Okay, well, let's go with the Ben Lee Award.
Yep.
I've got Jeremy Lin.
Oh,
this is a bit of an honest moment,
it's
guys.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
Okay. Do tell.
I think he actually seems like a nice guy. Deal with that. The video sketches I saw of him, he seems funny. Seems cool.
So you want to fight him for that?
No, I don't think I could beat up anyone in the NBA. So he'll probably kick my ass anyway because he's huge and strong. And I don't think he'd be the type of person that would, like, you know, physically hurt you to the point where you, like, mess you up for good or smash in your teeth. So
yeah, he probably
it's kind of like a, in case I lose, I know Jeremy Lin's not going to go too hard on me.
He won't... Yeah, okay.
That sounds weird.
Yeah, fair enough.
So that's why I'm going there. Sorry, I know it's weird, but... Who are you going to beat up in the NBA? You think you can beat up Nate Robinson? Just because he's little, he'll fuck you up.
No, he's a weapon.
Nate Robinson would be one of the... What about Prigioni or something?
He's a weapon.
Prigioni
is
right 36
years old and he's in the NBA.
Yeah.
He'll kick your ass.
Yeah, probably.
He'll kick your ass. Everyone would.
I reckon I could take Bosch.
Yeah, I could.
Dude, I could. I hate him. He's a handbag. He got love tapped, like, and went down like a sack of shit. He's diving all over the place. And just throw a couple of fakes at him and watch him, like, oh, cringe. And then just uppercut. Bang. Couple uppercuts, he's down. And then I'd definitely run.
Here's a question for you. Would
Bosch, man. Handbag.
Here's a question for you. Would you rather have Chris Bosch's face or LeBron James's feet?
Oh, easy Bosch's face.
Yeah.
LeBron James's feet.
That was hectic.
That fucked up.
That Instagram photo or whatever? Yeah. That was so brutal.
What was that?
He's got three normal functioning feet.
Nails messed up.
His foot's gross. A certain way where I think he doesn't even need to use his toes. Like,
so gross.
He's evolved past toes.
He looks like he's wearing an invisible stiletto. His incredible. Toes are like crammed up the side of his feet.
How
somehow.
Is it that we've only just sort of been aware of this?
Well... Would anyone have taken a photo of Michael Jordan's photo? I mean,
just think it would be notable.
Yeah, LeBron's never been anywhere in thongs until this year.
Possibly.
There has to be
another photo
he's from
of him.
Cole. It's because he's in South Beach. He didn't get his toes out.
I wouldn't either, I guess.
No.
I just think we live in a time where we're taking photos of LeBron so much that finally somebody noticed his feet. I mean, you never would have had a photo of Michael Jordan's toes or Larry Bird's toes.
Yeah, definitely.
Nobody gave a shit.
What about when they're getting strapped in the change room for the game? They're just sitting on the tables getting strapped. You notice
it.
Yeah.
Photo.
He must go to great lengths, I think, to keep
it. No, there is a photo of his toe like that. If you haven't seen the toe, please check out the toe immediately.
I think it's more 2013 to point it out, though. I think, like, people wouldn't have cared as much back in the 90s.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
You don't, like, you know, there's not the medium there. It'd have to be on the news or in the paper or some shit.
Yeah. It is. He is in Miami. Like, you're supposed to get that shit fixed.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's got faked hits. You know.
Maybe it's from, like, the way he plays ball. Like, he can't help it.
I think he's evolved past the toe. His toe's like... Like broken
really?
Out of the way.
It's like a kangaroo paw.
It doesn't need to be there anymore. You could just snip it off. You know, like certain dogs, you snip their tails because they're just not really.
Yeah, it's piggybacking the other toe.
It doesn't.
It's like right on the top.
I feel sick.
All right. Who did you have?
He just said Bosch.
Oh, Bosch, you had.
I got Mario Chalmers. Just because, in terms of, like, trying to win, I feel like I'd have the most people on my side if I was trying to fight him. He's kind of like the Meg Griffin of the Heat.
Yeah, fully.
So I feel like if I was just like, fuck you, Chalmers, whatever, you're a dick, everyone would be with me, and he wouldn't want to fight me in the first place.
Or if he hit you, everyone would be like,
what the hell are you doing,
Chalmers?
Fuck you, Chalmers.
Leave Bagman alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear ya.
So I think it's the safest bet.
He's pretty good, though. Like, he tries hard. He doesn't really do anything wrong.
No,
he always gets he's like the whipping boy.
You've got to be a bitch for a reason.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, let's go with the last award, the Overhype Award, which I haven't talked to you guys about, but I want to call the Iron Man 3 Award. But
I'd love that you called it that.
Can we call it the Iron Man 3?
Oh, thank God, yeah.
All right. Now it's time for the Iron Man 3 Award, otherwise known as the Overhyped Award. Player with the right momentum and crashed out and burned. I don't know if it has to be the right momentum, but there was momentum there. Like, oh, there's a build and crash.
Sure.
I got Amari Stoudemire because so much hype that he was coming back and the knee and limited minutes. Finally back and injured. Like, I think he played one game for the minutes he was, like, a little bit extra minutes.
Yeah.
And back to nothing.
Disappointing.
It's sad because he's so awesome. But
are you surprised,
though?
Like, it was disappointing last year, you know? Mm. He came back and then he punched the glass cabinet and he was a handbag and he bailed.
Is it because he has $80 million regardless? He's not going to leave the team, so he's just thinking, still got that look contract. After me and make sure that I can play.
No. I think it was something about he's just getting further away from his best season.
Yep.
It would have been like 07, and Steve Nash makes you look very, very good. Mm. He's always had good point guards.
Still, so he did finish, though. You know, like,
oh, he was amazing. He was fucking unstoppable. But, like, you know, he hasn't gotten any better since then. Knee surgeries.
A lot of surgery.
Yeah.
His eyes are trouble.
His mid-range jumper is awesome, though.
He needs to play extended minutes. He needs to have a team who'll let him play and get back into his groove. He doesn't have minutes at New York, and they can't afford to give him that, like, slow road to recovery thing.
And you start to wonder, like, was he... All the damage he did in Phoenix, he was playing center a lot of the time. And you start to wonder if that's where he belongs, being a small five man who can take bigger guys out of the post.
But he never played like a true center. Like, he wasn't, he was explosive. He was
so
agile.
That's who he was facing, you know. That's who he had centers guarding him.
But he doesn't have that agility anymore. Well, I don't think he does. So he's got to either develop into like a low post scorer, which he's never really had before. And he's got to do it quick. Or, I don't know, he's going to sort of just play limited minutes and get, you know, be a bit of a...
I'd have him coming off the bench still, I think.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. Yeah. Definitely. And
we can hopefully... Because they're going to run the Italian guy. What's his name?
Yeah. Bargnani. At least we'll talk about him when we talk about him.
Yeah. Sorry.
But,
Yeah, so I have Amari because it was a bunch of shit. Who do you have, Rabbit?
Westbrook. He was there. No, not crashing and burning, you know, intentionally or self-destructing. He was momentum, he was charging, and from a team perspective, Oklahoma crashing and burning without him, it was monumental.
His pick's not a person, it's a team, Oklahoma City.
Well, it's Westbrook and Oklahoma, I guess, in one. Sorry, it's a bit of a hybrid, but you're cool. Mm.
It did suck
and
when that happened.
He was, they were going, like, get rid of Houston in the first round. It's Houston.
Yeah, the first round, won that round.
Yeah, and then it was done. They didn't even look like winning the second round. So, to me, it was like they were going straight to the conference finals, challenging again to... It was... They got exposed massively. And that's crashing and burning. That's my guy, yeah.
I've got... I think the one who I thought just had the most fanfare coming in, and then I don't like their game, is Brandon Jennings.
Mm.
Like, I know he didn't have, like, a terrible season last year, but...
Could have been most overhyped trade as well.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Who cares about that? Who cares?
But yeah, I don't know. I think he gets a lot of credit, and they're talking about like he's going to change the world in Detroit. And I don't really like the way he plays.
Pretty outrageous to say they were going to beat Miami in the
first
round. Yeah, but who cares?
Still, you don't. You know, you're not going to do it. You're playing next season. You're getting better. You're going to be here for a while. You don't need to go say that kind of shit and embarrass yourself. You know,
Meta World Peace said today, LA will get to the finals.
Yeah, he's tripping. So. I told you, man, he's nuts. He's so nuts.
He knows how it works. That's outrageous. If I say something, it'll get controversial. I'll be in the news again.
He's dangerous.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the East. Just a little bit of a brush up preseason. We are 6 weeks away from game one, Miami versus Chicago. Rabbit, what do you think? Miami, do you care? The only thing I really wanted to talk about was Beasley getting high. You?
Well, if you want to talk about Miami, I guess everyone's in agreement, really. There's no one who's going to beat Miami in the East. I think they're going back to the finals. I think there's a good chance they could three-peat this year and LeBron will get MVP again. It's cliche, but I don't see anyone better than Miami. I mean, they got Oden, which is going to be a bit of a... I'm not sure about that. What do you guys think about the
best-case
Oden
scenario is... awesome for Miami.
Sure.
If you can get someone who can play 25 minutes and rebound and block shots and finish competently, is going to be a more sort of athletic, better like all-around defender than Birdman. But yeah, that's if they give him that, that's going to be huge. It's sort of the only thing that they don't have. They can play big for long stretches and then they can sort of beat you in another way.
Do you think Odin's going to start? Or run with the second unit.
Yeah. I reckon he'll be playing like 10 minutes a game max when he first comes. They're going to ease him right back into it. They don't really... There's no need to rush him until the end of the season.
And no Mike Miller.
No Mike Miller. Gonskis.
There's no one for me to really hate other than Battier on the team now.
Rashard Lewis. He's probably going to have to do a bit more this season. We didn't see much of him last season.
Yep.
But really, if everyone's intact and everyone's rolling... There's not much anyone can do about it.
Do you think Beasley's going to last the entire year, or do you think he'll get kicked off?
Oh, it's totally up to Beasley. History would suggest that he'll be in the doghouse by the end of the year.
I think playing for a championship team, like, you just switch on?
He's not going to get shots. He's there for insurance. It depends if D-Wade, you know, what he does. He was pretty beat up last season as well. See what he can do. Don't forget they've got Cole as well. He had a pretty good season last year. He's, you know, that's third season now for him. He can pick up some scoring and stuff for the second unit. So, you know, they're dangerous and they're super strong, even with no Odin, who could fall apart after 30 games.
They're another year together as well. They kept it intact, which totally. Like, continuity is huge.
Bosch, you know how I feel about Bosch. But, yeah, if he plays well and he meshes well there, yeah, they're unstoppable.
Remember, why do you like Bosch so much?
Oh, he's great. I just love his spirit and his, you know, awesome shot selection.
He's a rough hands, man.
Like how he never goes missing in big moments as well. It's awesome.
He got the big rebound and the big block.
Just don't like unnecessary hype. He gets way too much of it.
I love Bosch.
Well, shall we move on to Indiana?
Yeah, did anyone not have Indiana at two?
Where's... I've got them at two.
Oh, my God.
I know. Sorry. I went crazy, man. I had New York at two. We'll get into that in a bit, but...
Got to be excited about Indiana this
love
year.
Love that team.
Very pumped. So Granger.
Granger's back.
And Paul George is going to re-sign before the start of the season, he says.
Yeah, I read that.
So that'll be interesting.
Should get max dollars.
Paul George had... I had so much more respect for him after the season he just had. He played incredible.
Yeah, played great. He's a monster in the playoffs.
He came into
his
own. He's a respected scorer now. He gets a lot of respect. And paired with Granger, Hibbert, it's pretty crazy. They've got a really, really strong starting five.
Would you run a Paul George jersey?
Oh, defo.
Really?
Yep, 100%. All black with
who
gold.
Wouldn't, really?
All black. It's gangster.
No doubt.
Let's admit it.
I'm more excited about the bench. They had zero bench at the end of last year.
They did.
And they've turned like DJ Augustine and like the human erect penis into CJ Watson and Scola and Chris Copeland from New York.
Yeah.
A bit of scoring, which they sort of needed a bit of a hero off the bench to try and ignite them when it's going a bit stagnant.
Got a bit of Euro flavor there.
Yeah,
love a bit of Euro flavor. But they got people who can score, super important.
And they've got some hustle on D as well. They've got some hard nosed.
Scola there is really going to affect. The you know when they have to do the group photos though because he is one of the ugliest people in the NBA.
They might have
and
to have
they
a
were
word.
A handsome team before him.
I'd he's hate got... all that hair in my face if he was like if you're trying to defend him. He's always shaking around. It's so disgusting.
Yeah,
he's kind of like who's that painter? The weird one,
Picasso.
Like, yeah, he's kind of a Picasso. Half his face is bent. Anyways. would you say the best playoff series last year were Indiana versus the Heat and Golden State versus Denver? Indiana were extremely entertaining, and it was the whole team.
Oh, they played D like... I think they were quite a dark horse, and no one really gave them enough cred going into that New York series. And they dominated New York.
They dominated them.
And they held their own against Miami more than once in that series. Plus the year before, like Indiana, a no joke. Hibbert's D when he decides to play D, and they rotate well, it's pretty hard to score on
Hibbert.
Them.
It's so I don't know, old school and awesome, and like so refreshing at the same time to watch a traditional center go to work and be really good at it. especially now that they've gotten rid of the position in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
He's an old-school center, a big man who can actually move his feet, and I don't see any other team that has that on that level.
No one that big. That's the thing. There's no one really bigger than him at the top of the East.
He's training right now, or he was, like, last month with Tim Duncan. Like, that's a good teacher to have, showing you how to use your feet. And, you know, Tim Duncan's turnaround bank shots and all his shot selection is usually really right on the money. And if he can start using that and get more confidence, because you could tell, like, a lot of the times when he'd score in the playoffs, he'd, like, you know, when he'd show his tongue and, like, kind of show this, like, fuck yeah, I'm playing good right now.
Yeah.
And, like, it maybe it helped him rise and he rose to the occasion. But if he can keep it consistent and also kind of maybe be a bit stronger, you know, that Carmelo block was massive. That was huge for his ego and confidence. It was a mental change for him that he's not just a big man. He's a strong big man. And if he can kind of portray that next season, they're going to be so much fun to watch.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, everyone expects him to be there at the end. It's sick that they re-signed West. Mm. They're keeping all the core together.
George Hill's still there.
If Granger can, like, play 25 minutes and be another scorer, and he's a handy defender when he wants to be as well.
Do you think he might be like an Amari where he's like, yeah, I'm back, and then play a little bit and be like, I don't feel right.
Well, the other thing is he's in the last year of a contract, so they can trade him. They can turn him into something super useful, maybe like another older guy to maybe get him over the hump.
Yep.
Be pretty huge.
Incredible amount of trades over this offseason as well.
Yeah, somehow you don't think that they're going to win more games than the Knicks was.
That's because I just love teams that are just pure offense. So I'm thinking about them when I'm playing them like 2K or something. I'm like, yeah, just everyone can hit shots. Yeah, I put New York second.
I've got them at 3.
I can't believe it. I can't believe you've got them at so high.
It's just because I want
They're
it so
fucking
bad.
Hoax, I'm know, telling man. You.
When they want to score and play well, they went on tears last season.
Oh, man.
Absolute tears.
One of the most enjoyable offensive games to watch were the isolation from J.R. Smith and even Stoudemire sometimes, but Carmelo.
You got to argue
Carmelo's game. It's just epic.
I know where you're at, Bag. You got to argue that they won't have J.R. Smith won't probably go that crazy with the shots he hit, and they won't have that free flowing kind of chaotic offense this season. They might lack a little bit of punch. I don't know.
Do you
where
think Chandler's going to be worse or better or about the same?
The same.
So that's still pretty hot.
Well,
Shumpert will probably
back.
Be a little bit better. He's 100% back from injury now. He's pretty confident. He had that epic dunk, you know, in the
It's one
the
of the
series.
Best tip jams I've ever seen.
Yep. Yeah, amazing. Meta World Peace, you think it's a bad idea, but at the end of the day, it's a, you know, it's not like a guy who's in his mid-30s or early 30s, whatever you want to call it. How old is he? He's like 34 or something. I don't know.
He's a head case.
Yeah.
You can never have too many head cases. Yeah. You know,
they've proved it.
One more isn't going to add anything.
It's the chaos of Madison Square. It could just
be
insane. It's almost like the pressure there makes them play outrageous, high tempo, crazy ball, and they kind of get willed to win. But I don't know if they'll have the same scoring as last season.
Well, when they were playing their best ball last season was when Kidd was playing and playing well.
Yeah.
He sort of kept the whole thing in check. He made the big plays and the big games to get them wins. And when he fell off, they fell off really bad. And
but
he's not there this year.
That was the same time that Amari was being introduced into the team again.
Yeah, but he was playing well. I don't think it works. Mm. And yeah, he's gone. There's no one there to really anchor the whole thing, keep it together. And there's not a single
was playing as well in those early games, and like I don't know if it was Rashid at all, but it felt like when Rashid was playing, it was just a great energy, and he was hitting shots. And then all of a sudden, they were playing before he got injured a lot more.
He didn't do anything.
No. There's a fine line with New York caving or achieving, and I don't think there's any in between. It's like the stars of glory or it's going to be a pretty nasty fall. But I want him to do well. I really do.
There's no two-way players. There's not a single person in that team who's the same skilled offense and defense. They're all either one-way shooters, Melo, Bargnani, Stoudemire, Smith,
Chandler.
All these guys, and then Chandler, World Peace, and Shumpert. terrible offensive players, yeah, really, for the most part.
Yeah, but, you know, they carry each other.
Do you not think Bonjarni can play defense very well?
No.
No, he can't. It's suspect, but
I don't know
hey.
Why. I feel... I just think they're going to get buckets.
I got them fifth. I think if Cleveland stay healthy, they're a better team than New York.
Wow, that's big.
I like it.
That's massive.
I like it.
What about Brooklyn? I got Brooklyn at four.
Mm. I got Brooklyn at four as well.
I got Brooklyn at three. I love it. I'm just so excited.
I just think they're going to be happy to keep the guys rested and lose a few at the start of the season, and they will be happy to finish fourth or fifth.
Yeah, we touched on it before. I'm skeptical a little bit. That's why I had New York ahead of them, just on the ego trip there, and if Kidd can keep them all in check. But if they can, they should be dangerous. And at least, you know, you'd think at least they're thinking Eastern Conference Finals this season.
What do you think about the Kirilenko Russian connection?
Oh, yeah, that's super under the table stuff.
Bit sus.
It's weird. He went for...
You'd do it, Bolt, wouldn't you, if you were Kirilenko?
What did he do? He was going from $10 million a season, and now he's only taking two or something like that.
Yeah, but he's going to a much bigger market, so he'll probably get more fans, more sponsorship. Vodka. How many more Russian people are in New York than Minnesota?
I don't know, man, but for $8 million more, I'm probably staying. You know,
I reckon Prokhorov's gone. Something's mate, going on. You want to be mates with Prokhorov.
Yeah.
He'd be like, all Prokhorov would have had to say was like, dude, take $2 million this year. I promise you won't regret it.
Unless he's
and
just like,
totally cool
come
with that.
To my boat and take a briefcase and he just pays in cash. Or Eastern Bloc guys.
Or just delivers maybe the money to your cash. Mother and she keeps it.
Yeah. He would have signed the contract under knife point. Yeah. For sure.
It's massive.
The red laser dot on his forehead. He would have signed that.
Getting gnarly in Brooklyn.
Good on him.
I had Chicago fifth. Where'd you guys have Chicago?
I had Chicago third.
Third.
I have them sixth.
Yep.
Sixth. That's so low. Just lower than Cleveland.
Mm, I think Cleveland are going to be the dark horse this year. They're going to be the Golden State of the East.
I'd like to think Cleveland can get to the playoffs. That's for sure. I put them at eighth, sneaking in.
Here's a
question.
This
depends, though. If Bynum plays, Verizier, we touched on it earlier.
Yeah.
You're super high on Washington, hey, Robert?
I like Washington, hey. I think they can kind of do what Golden State did last season, take a few people by surprise, run and gun.
You had them eighth. I had them seventh.
Yeah, I've got them
eighth. You had them seventh as well.
They have a good chemistry there. They're pretty young. They've got a nice experience. Wall's really due for a breakout season. Ariza's there, Nene, Okafor, Webster, there's Al Harrington now.
Oh, yeah, Al Harrington.
It's massive.
He's huge. But it'll be pretty good, stretching the floor. I like Beal heaps as well. He came on pretty well last year.
It's kind of the same. They're all young. It's the same as Golden State in a sense. They're all young. They're all due. If they mesh well and play pretty good team ball, they could do some damage.
But really,
I'd
more
like
importantly, Rabbit, how do you feel about John Wall changing shoe sponsorships from Reebok to Adidas?
Yeah, well, that's really the cold of the season so far, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, really.
It's going to affect a lot of people.
He signed max contract for $80 million, and as soon as that happened, boom, Adidas are like, all right, we'll make you shoes.
And what was that worth, his contract?
Was it $80
million? For shoes.
Oh, for the shoe contract. Probably 40.
Yeah, wow.
He was holding out for that fuck you T-Mobile money.
That's right. Does anyone care at all about Atlanta?
No.
No, okay, cool.
Atlanta.
So let's not even talk about it.
No. But somehow they'll end up making the playoffs, though, won't they? Even though they got Millsap.
They always do.
Millsap and Horford and Williams is coming back. That's it. And they'll sneak into seventh. They get smashed in the first round.
Yeah.
And no one will give a fuck about them the whole year.
It's just standard mediocrity for Atlanta for the last, billion years.
Yeah.
Always the same. It's like, it's kind of that unattractive kind of limping to the playoffs and, you know, they can't get draft picks.
No one's ever been scared of them.
Yeah.
No one's ever wanted to go
there. I don't know
about
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Well, let's all get excited to watch Boston crumble and fall. That's going to be pretty gross to watch.
When's Rondo coming back? After the All-Star game? Or?
Well, still yet to be determined.
Yeah, so it'll be a while. They're not going to rush him back. And he doesn't want to come back and be on a losing team.
Wrap him up like they did Rose.
Who's playing center? They have not a single center.
I don't think so.
You were talking about playing like Bass at center for a long time, and Sullinger. Yuck, gross. It's disgusting.
Gross. It feels Green, like some sort of high school movie.
Green's going to be carrying Everyone's it to Chris Humphreys and Gerald Wallace.
So Jeff Green is their go-to guy.
Yeah, he's their best player right now.
It's going to be ugly in Boston. It's
pretty scary.
My brother Davo is going to be so upset, and it's going to be awesome to give him shit all
Settle
season.
In for 4 years of hell.
Is Jeff Green better than Humphreys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way better.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Avery Bradley?
How shit is the East that I've still got Boston at 12, and so do you as? There's three teams worse than that. It's pretty crazy. The bottom of the East.
Does anyone care about Detroit?
Detroit, I'm excited about Detroit this year.
They should do better than last year.
I saw the new Motor City uniforms.
Oh, yeah?
They blew my mind. They were so amazing.
Are they like T-shirts?
They just say Motor City.
Motor City?
Kind of like OKC's Oklahoma. It's kind of pretty average, Joe, I got to be honest with you.
Just quietly, Detroit going bankrupt? Are they going to be able to have games? That's all going ahead? No problems there?
Yeah, it would be an issue. Ticket sales, you know.
Sure.
It sucks.
It's pretty crazy.
It's weird that Josh Smith wanted to go to that market, but maybe didn't have... He just wanted max contract.
$52 million was that money. For you.
Yeah, plenty of reasons.
Detroit could do some damage. I don't know if there'll be a 500 team, I guess, but I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs at all. Can't see it.
Yeah, it's like tons of talent. I don't think it works, though.
How do you feel about Chauncey Billups coming back?
Oh, they'd be so stoked if it was 2004 Detroit. They'd be so pleased. It's a shame it's just almost a decade too late.
Yeah.
Scraped it in. I'll be looking forward to paying for his surgery.
He'll take his money. He'll be all right.
It's a shame they really need... If he was playing at, you know, at a reasonable level, they could really use someone like him.
Oh, for sure.
It'd be amazing, but... Instead, they'll be trotting out a Stucky Jennings backcourt, and it's going to be fucking suicide for me to watch that.
Yep.
But the rest of it I really like. Smith and Drummond and Munro. It's going to be pretty beastly. Like, when it's in full flight, it's going to be pretty sexy ball from Detroit, I reckon.
Well, it's going to be better than Philly, that's for sure. Philly's going to be awful, awful. Watch them tank and, you know, hopefully they do something in the draft next year.
Win it. That's all they...
That's the plan.
How do you legitimately feel about what Philly have done?
And they're sitting in front of a camera, like going, "We're going to play as hard as we can every night, and you know, hope be competitive and meh." And you want to lose every game you can. It's I don't know. I felt weird when they got rid of Holiday.
Yeah,
you know, I felt that was weird because he was just sort of coming good, but he's gone to New Orleans, which is probably a better situation for him, so I guess it's cool, but it was just so obvious what they're doing. It's just, I don't know, but that's the game.
And
you know?
Like,
you
probably do it
if
work?
You were them. You probably do the same thing though.
Yeah, but you got a 75% chance of not winning
totally.
Well. It's super hard.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, how many teams has it worked out for who tanked and ended up getting like a dynasty or like getting a really good team out of it?
If you get
only
one,
really
two or
Cleveland,
three, you're doing okay.
Cleveland and San Antonio and Oklahoma City.
San Antonio when?
With
they
Tim
didn't
Duncan.
Tank though.
Hard.
Oh, back early. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I thought you meant recently.
No.
Oh, I didn't know about that. They tanked super hard and obviously.
Yeah, to get Duncan Robinson sat out the season.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, well, it's not pretty in any aspect, but
I just feel like
it's a game.
If you don't make the playoffs, every team should get the same amount of ping pong balls in the lottery.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, encourage tanking.
Losing.
Yeah. Like, how disgusting are these games going to be? Charlotte versus Philly in the middle of the week. You wouldn't dream of watching that.
I don't know. It's probably all money driven though. It's like it gets ugly with like X amount of I don't know where
well,
I'm
the GM
with this.
Announced today that he didn't feel that tanking was an advantage, like it was a wise decision.
Well, he's got to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
kind of right, but
yeah.
Sometimes it works. Like, you got to give yourself the best chance, and it's, you know, it's a lottery. It's hectic.
What about as a, like, just as an owner, having less cash going out in that way and still getting your revenue from your sponsors, getting revenue from, you know, average ticket sales, and maybe going, I'm not going to invest a lot this year and save it for the next year, you know?
In players?
No, in the owners. Yeah, invest in the players and players' wages and all that
stuff.
There's
a salary floor.
Oh, there's a bottom.
Yeah, you have to pay a certain amount, so it's not that much different. It's not that much that you save.
And then you got to argue you want fans to come to the games to keep attendance up, so you need semi-decent players for people to come watch.
Mm.
Or you have a super friendly schedule that's got a lot of good teams coming to town at the right times you can capitalize on and just try to break even or not lose too much money and then go again super hard next season.
I just, even if Boston that's the most... get a number one pick, like say Toronto get a LeBron James or a Kobe Bryant, is that going to make Toronto a winning team long term?
That's what I'm saying. You got to get a transcendent player. That's what the key is.
How rare are they?
Yeah, you're just giving yourself the best chance.
Mm.
But when you're financially inclined to do that was my point earlier, like that's the best move for you financially, that's the game. It's a business and you're trying to make as much money possible off the players you have, so you're going to go after the best asset you can get. And if that gives you better trading power for better assets in the future, etc., win championships, build dynasties, sell shit, sell merchandise, it's huge. So all these decisions come into it rather than just from the purest where we're just losing to get a good guy. There's a lot that comes into it. So I don't know. It's going to be gross watching him tank anyway.
Yeah. Sure. Their best three players are Thaddeus Young, Evan Turner, and Jason Richardson.
Yeah. Okay.
That's your best.
So three who do players. You get for fantasy gold on that team?
Oh, probably it'd have to be Turner, wouldn't it? Turner or Young.
Yuck.
Going to tear it up. Rookie point guard. Ugh, it's going to be pretty gross out there in Philly.
Mm. And so you had Orlando as third overall, and I have them as my last place. Why do you
third
think...
Third overall.
Third last.
Oh, sorry, tripping. Third last. Sorry, you had yours as third last, and I had Orlando as dead last. Why do you think Orlando is going to do better than Charlotte and Milwaukee?
Because they're going to trot out starting five like Jameer Nelson, Aflalo... Harris had a nice year last year, Big Baby, and Vukovic, whatever the fuck. Mm. It's pretty solid.
It's decent.
Then they got that new rookie, Oladipo. Harkless is a year older, and Nicholson both had good years last year. Turkoglu is off the roids and back into it. They should be all right. Turkoglu, I think just looking at their compared to what the other guys are running underneath them,
I think that's
a pretty solid. Like I think that's way better than what Philly and Charlotte and Milwaukee
Kemba Walker and Al Jefferson. Could be cool.
Yeah, but that was so bad last year. There's nothing else there to suggest. Like that's a two-man team.
Mm.
Henderson's kind of handy. Everyone else there sucks.
Milwaukee. Brandon Knight. I hate Brandon Knight as well.
Brandon Knight's one of my least favorite players.
We should have probably had him in the awards.
Yeah, I just feel sorry for him. He got dunked on so bad. He got everything coming to him right there and more.
Mm.
He took it like a champ. You got to give him that.
Yeah, he definitely tries. He tried in the All-Star game as well for the sophomores, freshmen. And
Kyrie how do you Irving feel about him? How do you feel about Mayo going to Milwaukee?
OJ Mayer. I don't give a shit. What do you think?
Oh, I just don't know why you choose Milwaukee. Even if they were giving you the most money. Like,
in essence, it's kind of the same as where Dallas are in the West, though. It's like, is he earning more money in Milwaukee?
But just geographically as well, I don't know about Milwaukee, Wesley. It doesn't look like it's nice.
It's cold, Darrell.
Isn't it cold?
Oh, yeah.
Da-na-na-na-na, like working class.
Certainly not as desirable as Dallas, is it?
I don't think a lot of people would be like, fuck yeah, I live in Milwaukee.
Isn't it cold?
Does it
get cold?
Is it, what is it, like mid-north? Yeah, it'd probably get cold there. It'd be like Melbourne. You'd have like 3 days where it's like, fuck, this is hot. And then the rest of the day it'd be snowing.